show. Evan Bray, great to have you here live at Crop Production Show. We'll do our whole show today from the Crop Production Show, and we're going to do it again tomorrow as well. And thank you again to everyone that is popping by the booth. We've had oodles of people. It's busy down here today. It's been ramping up since the doors opened at 9 o'clock, and I expect it's going to stay busy throughout the day today as well. So that's good for the organizers, good for those that are exhibitors here at the show, and just being able to watch. I mean, there's a lot of people leaning on a tractor tire and having a bit of a chat about things, some old friendships being rekindled and some new friendships being made. That's what the Crop Production Show is all about. Well, I've been kind of following this closely. It's been a bit of an interesting journey. In late December, Canada's health minister said that we can no longer fully rely on the United States health agencies like CDC for public health guidance, especially on things like vaccines. Just last week, U.S. authorities slashed the number of childhood vaccines that they broadly recommend, cutting the routine list from 17 to 11, removing universal recommendations for influenza, hepatitis A and B, RSV, and others. These changes can have implications both in rhetoric and official policy for Canada when we look at CDC, or at least we used to, for best practices. My next guest co-wrote an editorial for the Canadian Medical Association Journal exploring how misinformation from south of the border could ripple across Canada and undermine, ultimately, public health efforts. I'm very happy to be joined by Dr. Jasmine Pawa, a specialist in public health and preventative medicine. Dr. Pawa, thank you so much for taking the call today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
So can we talk a bit about trends in U.S. medical policy that maybe have you concerned right now?
Absolutely. I think there's a few layers to some of what's happening. Some of it links just to health information and data, so how it's collected, how it's shared, the information we use to make decisions. Like you said, changes in immunization policy, some of the pieces that really impact trust people have in healthcare and public health services. But we see it in other areas, too, in health organizations, but also in things like the environment and other places. So there's a whole bunch of layers to some of the challenges that have been happening the last few years.
How much can you quantify does Canada typically look to the CDC when making our own public health decisions?
Yeah, no, thanks for the question. And it depends really on each situation, each context, but for a specific example we looked through recently looking at the pandemic, normally we would look to the U.S. for what's happening with testing, what are some of the guidance, and then we do our own, but we would learn from and adapt from what's happening there. And in recent years, we've had to look a lot more to Europe and other places to try and make good decisions because the U.S. is having a lot of challenges on that front. So we see it with things like laboratory tests. There's a lot of big U.S. research that we might, for example, use antibodies from right. or things, and given all the cuts to their research funding, we can't do that. So we do have really strong public health and healthcare systems in Canada, but a lot of public health work, like we do, learn from other countries and work together, and so we're not immune to the changes happening in the U.S. And if we do see just more disease there of different things like measles or other things, we think some of that, there's lots of movement across the border, we might actually some impacts from that side in addition to some of the information kind of impacts of what's happening.
Right. Are there other places that we could look if not using CDC?
Yeah, I think the European CDC kind of equivalents and some of that work is something we can really look to. I think that's a natural partnership for us in a lot of ways.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit in what ways you see U.S. policy and rhetoric spilling over Canada's public health landscape.
Yeah. So, I mean, this conversation really close tied into one around social media and what information we see on our phones and other places. And so obviously we're exposed to a lot of U.S. conversations and a lot of kind of U.S. pieces that, excuse me, spill over into our conversation. So whether that be about vaccines, about research, about health systems, about accessing healthcare and feeling comfortable to do it, we see a lot of those kinds of pieces. And sorry, remind me what your question was. Were the other pieces?
Well, just the ways in which we see this affecting Canada, basically. This type of, whether it's policy or even just as you said, the social media buzz, rhetoric, whatever you want to call it, how does it impact our country?
Right. So yeah, on the social media front, like I see debates between Canadians that I'm not sure we would be having if this situation in the US wasn't happening. So I think it changes that conversation. I think that it's actually something, in some ways, it's like the opportunity cost or the time you spend on things you wouldn't otherwise. So we have to spend a lot of time maybe respond in public health or healthcare pieces, responding to information that we wouldn't say is well-informed or well-researched or well-supported by work that's been done or past experience, but we have to spend a lot of time on it because what's happening in the U.S. is creating a lot of questions, and that's time we're not spending on other things. Mm-hmm. There's other pieces. A lot of it does connect to health data and tracking. So, for example, we want to closely watch what's happening with avian influenza. And if the U.S. isn't tracking as well cases of that or cases of other things that might happen for humans, it's harder for us to kind of know that, oh, okay, we should be looking over on the West Coast right now or the East Coast or understanding what's happening in the other corridors. So it makes it harder sometimes for us to use the signals we might have used that we might have partnered with the U.S. on.
Right. What about an everyday impact? What is the real world impact to whether it's misinformation or just a blurring of this discussion for individuals? I'm live at a crop show here in Saskatchewan today, and there's thousands of people walking around. What are the implications to everyday people in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, just come through the holidays, I imagine people might run into this a little bit even in their own families. Sessions they have where people seem to disagree, everybody might feel really well informed, and sometimes conversations get a bit heated. But actually, a lot of what's feeding that might not be information that's very accurate. And so that I think that we see it day to day when we talk, just in kind of friendly conversations or at work or over a water cooler type thing. I think we really see it there. I think the other day-to-day impact that is good for us to think about or talk about are our health systems are really stretched. We see issues with waits. We see issues with people trying to get the best care they can and give the best care they can if you're a provider, but that being really hard sometimes. And so I think that when people trust health services less, those interactions become more difficult too. And there's a lot more sometimes anger or difficulties that happen there. The Canadian Medical Association's done a lot of work trying to look into some of these pieces as well and understand what that impact is.
That leads into my last question. We're chatting today with Dr. Jasmine Pawa, who is a physician and a specialist in public health in preventative medicine. It feels as if going through the pandemic and everything we did there, there was a lot of vaccine hesitancy. Some people outright feel that the vaccine decision was not a good one to take, but it has spilled from that pandemic era discussion into one now, which is, I think, affecting vaccination rates in other ways, even with vaccinations that have been proven and trusted over the years. What are the strategies that you're seeing, Dr. Pawa, in trying to deal with that in terms of education and ultimately from a health perspective, keeping the population safe?
Yeah, no, thanks for the question. And I know that we all care deeply, for example, about children being healthy, children having access to good health. And there's so many conversations in this space that are relevant to that. I think that there's things just individuals, regular people can do. Like when we're having these conversations, trying to come at it with some empathy, acknowledge that there can be strong emotions, figuring out where we do agree. When we want to share information that's different, sharing it without necessarily being so dismissive or patronizing or angry where we can, and then trying to ask questions about, like, where did this information come from? Who made it? Do they have a financial stake in things getting in what's happening? How does it relate to what we know before? I think within health systems, we can keep trying to do the best job we can of improving our own health data. There's lots of really good things, like I say, about Canada's public healthcare system, but we can work better between provinces and territories, share more information, and make sure that we're communicating makes sense to people, that it's said in a way that meets the circumstances they're in, that and makes sense in the situation they're facing.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Pawa, I've appreciated your call. Thanks so much for giving us some time today to discuss this.
thanks for making space to talk about it. I appreciate it.
Dr. Jasmine Pawa, specialist in public health, preventative medicine. She's a physician. Again, co-wrote an editorial for the Canadian Medical Association Journal exploring how misinformation, predominantly coming from south of the border, could ripple across Canada. It undermines public health efforts and has had real impacts, real health impacts here in Canada. Okay, we'll take our break. We'll come back. Don't forget, coming up at the top of the hour, Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener. Yes, doesn't matter. We're live on location at the Crop Production Show. We can still crown Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener. Is it you? We'll find out. That's coming up at 11 here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.